Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
They say that you are as young as you feel, and while we might know our age in years, do you know what your biological age is? This is the age of your cells and your organs. So if you're a fit and healthy 60-year-old, your biological age could be as young as 40. On the line, Professor Roseanne Kenny, and with me in studio to motivate us with the warning that a brief walk around the block is not enough to keep you fit, is Professor Niall Moynagh. Good morning to both of you. Roseanne, can I start with you first, please? To slow down ageing, we would kind of need to be able to identify when it is that we first start ageing, wouldn't we?
Yeah, great question, actually. I mean, the truth of the matter is we start the ageing process from the day we're born, but we can't really influence an awful lot of that at this stage. But that is a fact, and actually much of the process is embedded in the first 3 to 4 years of life, maybe up to 7 years. And that includes your environment, your emotional engagement with your environment during those very early years, your diet and stimulation, etc. All of those things matter to the later aging process.
And how much of that can we blame on mum and dad and our genes, and how much of it is down to us?
So only 20% of that is genes.
Mm.
80% is down to us. So they're really, really important. That's a really critical time to nurture. Not just mum and dad nurture, but I think society has a role to play in the broader nurturing and facilitating that period of time to the very best we can for young children. This comes sometimes as a surprise that, you know, somebody interested in the biology of aging is talking about youth like that, and also the life course. And I'm talking in that context about our school years and education years, maybe it's third level education, etc. But all of those years shape how we age biologically.
So at what point in my life should I have started paying more attention to the fact that my internal organs are from this moment on not getting any younger? Should that have been something that I was alive to in my 30s, in my 40s, or is round about now in my 50s the right time?
So when we look at clocks, epigenetic clocks, and indeed what I'm about to say applies to the microbiome in the gut, which is a pretty good biological marker. There's an accelerated change during the first 7 to 10 years of life. And then it kind of plateaus out a little bit. And then it picks up again in middle age and later on. However, it doesn't completely plateau. You get a peak in very early life, and then it peaks and continues to slow down after the age of about 50 in later life. But in the between years, your 20s, your 30s, and your 40s, there is still obviously an aging process taking place, just not at the same accelerated rates. And there's a lovely study, actually, Philip, of 1,000 people born, all born in the same year, and when they were age 38, all of them were 38, so all the same number of candles on the cake, they had their biological age measured. And there was a difference of nearly 20 years in biological aging. And they were all 38, so some were behaving like 20-year-olds in terms of what we know to be the normal biological aging distribution. But others were behaving like 48-year-olds almost.
That's very interesting.
And the factors that influenced that were the things we're talking about. Mood changes, low exercise, alcohol excess, smoking, drinking, obesity, etc. All of the things that we normally attribute to older age groups, we're actually applying now. But more relevant, harder measures like your grip strength or your balance or the thickness of the vessels at the back of the eye, all of those factors were also more rapidly aged in the cohort who had the lower biological aging. So it wasn't just at a cell level, but they were also manifesting external features that we measure all of the time as part of assessment of the aging process. And so it starts early, is what I'm saying.
And 80% of it is down to ourselves and not our genes, which is where you come in now, Niall Moyna, because I suppose, in fact, I know you're going to say, regardless of your biological or your chronological age, you're never too young to start the good practices.
Yeah, without a doubt. If you look at all of these lifestyle risk factors, smoking, poor sleep, et cetera, et cetera, and if you're average in most of those and you were to change one of them to arrest that rate of decline in organ function, exercise is the panacea. And we know that. And the example I would give is people in their 20s and 30s, it's easy to perform activities of daily living if you have an average level of fitness. But if you're starting the aging process in your 20s and 30s from an average level, by the time you get to 60, activities of daily living that you now take for granted, going to the bathroom, walking up a flight of stairs, they're going to become extremely difficult. So this concept that we have of the octogenarian decathlon, think about 10 activities you would like to do in your 80s. We're all going to live to around 80. And some of us, that last decade, that marginal decade of our life is going to be the most miserable decade of our life because of what we're doing right now. So think of 10 activities. As I said, walking up a flight of stairs, playing with your grandkids.
Okay. Well, we've got to be realistic about this because I'd love to be leaping 5-bar gates in my 80s, but that's just not going to happen. But
that's not true. That's the perception. We have to change the perception in this paradigm. There are people in their 80s and 90s are doing feats that people in their 20s and 30s are doing. The issue is we are programmed into modern society that once you cross 60, 65 years of age, you know, you have such a decline, you can't perform, you shouldn't be able to, someone should carry your suitcase. What's wrong with an 80-year-old walking into an airport with a 20-kilogram briefcase or case of clothes, bring them into the airplane and putting them up on the rack? We should be able to do that. But if you're a 20-year-old, 30-year-old, and you're struggling a little bit to do that at the moment, you don't have the physical capacity, can you imagine where you're going to be in your 80s?
Okay. So carry your own carry-on is number one in your decathlon, your octogenarian decathlon. Give me a few more.
I want to be able to walk up a flight of stairs. I want to be able to go to the bathroom unaided. I want to be able to consume oxygen at 10 times my resting level. That's the other very, very important thing that I want to be able to do is to be able to walk 3 miles in 20 minutes in my 80s.
No. 3 miles in 20 minutes.
Sorry, 3 miles in an hour. Sorry, 3 miles in an hour.
I was thinking.
3 miles. So those are realistic targets. The point that I want to make is, if you're not right now, if you're a 60-year-old and you're, you know, chronologically 60, if you're not biologically 40, by the time you're 80, you're not going to be able to perform those activities. If you're just average now for your age, you're not going to be able to do it. You're already on that rapid decline in your physical functioning. So my point is, during those, it's a bit like prehab and rehab. When we get sick in Ireland, you get rehabilitation. All what I'm talking about is prehab. Let's increase our functional capacity, our strength in our 30s, 40s, 50s and 60s. And all of a sudden, you get to your 70s and you have a functional capacity, and you can have a functional capacity of a 50-year-old in your 70s.
And I know in order to achieve this, Roseanne, this is the point at which you say that we should be increasing the amount of daily activity we engage in as we get older.
Yeah, I recommend that all of the time. And it aligns very closely with what Niall said, that we have a mindset where we do a little bit more every year after the age of 60 or 50, whatever. A little bit more, not less. And I'd also say that resistance exercises are really important. So fast walking is great. And again, just to show that from the TILDA data, we've shown that there are 80 and plus year olds walking at the same fast pace as some 50-year-olds. So we see that huge heterogeneity across the lifespan in Ireland.
Okay, but when you say that we need resistance training, most people will start to think of weights. Is that what you mean, or do you mean just carrying your own weight?
Well, That's a really good point, because there's a spectrum of that. And if somebody isn't already going to the gym and doing weights, which is resistance training, then they turn off immediately when you start talking about resistance. But you can do simple things like just stepping up and down the lower step of in your house, maybe carrying a couple of cans or something at the time. Always, always take the stairs in the airport. And Philip, I've had to fly to give two lectures recently, and I was the only person who took the stairs when I'm coming back late at night one night from Brussels. Nobody else did. So take the stairs whenever you can. Use stepping up and down the lower step as a form of exercise. And also stand a few times a day with your hands on your chest to build your pelvic core muscles. So never use the arm of a chair when you're standing.
Do you never jump on the travelator for a little bit of crack in the airport, Niall?
No, it's very funny. My wife always looks strange at me when I'm in an airport. I always take the stairs, particularly going up. Obviously, it's a lot more stress on your body walking down the stairs. But walking up and down the stairs, I consciously do that. Because we're engineering, the escalator is a way to engineer activity out of our lives. Mm. The Hazda tribe living in Tanzania, who are hunters and gatherers, as they get older, the women in the tribe do more exercise. And in fact, they walk at a much faster pace than the average European woman in their 50s. So we're engineering activity out of our lives, and we have to find ways. And there are simpler ways that Roseanne suggested.
Indeed, Niall Moyna and Professor Roseanne Kenny. Professor Niall Moyna, to give you your proper title, excuse me. Thank you both very much. That's all that we have time for today. The programme was produced by the series producer Alistair McConnell, researcher Kieran Dunn, broadcast coordinator Louise Kerr-Ross, and on sound, Mark Dwyer. Now at midday, here's Louise Duffy.